The war on coal, pressures from natural gas development, crumbling infrastructure, whatever you want to blame it on, jobs are becoming more and more scarce these days in communities dependent on coal. As a result, some folks are reaching back to their roots, literally and figuratively, to make ends meet just as they have for generations. And there's some big money there, especially harvesting ginseng. But can plants like ginseng play a significant role in our economy today? Inquiring minds would like to know.
The top five counties last year were Mingo, Wyoming, Logan, Randolph, and McDowell.
Robin Black is West Virginia Division of Forestry's ginseng coordinator. For over 25 years, her role has been to monitor the ginseng industry. She says last year, over 7,000 pounds were harvested. At last year's average price of $750 a pound, $5.5 million came into the state.
The miners use that ginseng that they harvest during the season to help pay bills, give them a Christmas, and that kind of stuff. So in the southern coal fields, yeah, that's a big extra money that they can get during a small time period.
But can ginseng play a more significant role in our economy? To answer that question, we have to understand some of the driving economic factors, the most important being that the most valuable roots in the world are those that grow in Appalachian forests. Ecologist and Eberly Professor of Biology at West Virginia University, Jim McGraw, has been studying the plant for decades.
Wild plants tend to grow really slowly, and their whole life history is very slow, so it takes a long time for them to even get big enough to produce a single seed.
See, wild sang, that is the good stuff. That's the route that Asian markets will pay top dollar for, just as it has for the past 300 years. But ginseng can also be planted and cultivated.
In the opposite extreme, with extreme cultivation like happens in Wisconsin and Ontario, plants grow very quickly to adult size in 2 to 3 years. You can have plants producing seeds and be quite large.
The thing is, you can really tell when sang has been cultivated. The root is all swollen, fat, white, and smooth compared to wild sang, which is scrawny, tortured, and dark. But some mountain folk have found that planting the seed in a more natural or wild setting produces a root that will fetch a more competitive price.
But these forest-grown plants, where people are actually planting seeds in the woods, they tend to be a little bit more like wild, but it depends what they do to them. So if they prepare the ground, for example, with a tiller, and they plant in a tilled area, those plants will grow faster because they've eliminated competition from other neighboring herbs and so forth.
So depending on the growing techniques, this forest-grown ginseng crop could be a game changer, according to industry experts, academics, and others involved with ginseng. Larry Harding is one example of someone who's made a comfortable living forest growing. He shows off one of his forest grown roots.
There's not a person on earth who could say that's not wild ginseng, but it's not wild ginseng. We planted that ginseng. So, you know, that's ginseng that we planted here on the farm.
Harding's father started his ginseng farm 50 years ago, just outside of Friendsville, Maryland. That's just over the West Virginia border. Now, the laws are a little different in Maryland, but Harding says each year he harvests anywhere from 500 to 2,000 pounds of dry ginseng from the over 80 acres of his steep, forested land. It's enough to provide Harding's main source of income. And the price he can get for his forest-grown root compared to wild root?
The difference in price, when you're talking about root like this, little to none. You know, so this is wild quality root.
Harding markets his product as having wild characteristics, taste, color, and texture. He says it's the quality of this forest-grown sang that fetches funds comparable to that of wild sang. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.